Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Joining us by phone, as he does every Monday at about this time, we have Sheriff in Santa Rosa County, Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy New Year, absolutely. We had a couple of stories. One that was kind of an odd one is, I guess there was some kind of a manhunt in maybe Navarre, Holly area that led to an arrest, but not just for the suspect. There was also a couple of other people arrested for harboring a fugitive.
Yeah, they basically lied to the officers saying they didn't know where he was at. And, of course, he was in their house. So that's just a little note to people out there that if you have somebody who we're coming for and you know they're in your house and you tell us they're not in there and we find them in there, you're going with them.
Wow. So one person hid and three people went to jail. Is that right?
Well, one went for harboring. I think the other ones had different charges. But, the owner of the house, I think, went for harboring.
Okay. So now if somebody's threatening you, you know, some fugitive comes in your house and threatens you, that's a totally different scenario, right?
Yeah. A whole different animal. You have to do what you have to do in a case like that. But, but when you knowingly, you know, lie about it and we know that you're lying, and, you know, that's one thing that people don't understand. Most cops go through different courses, and some of them are on how to read body language. And, you know, it's pretty easy to tell when most people are lying, unless it's a sociopath or somebody.
And you're telling me that cops are trained on how to detect lies? That's so weird. It's almost like an essential job skill or something.
Yeah, I know you find it hard to believe, Andrew, but sometimes criminals lie to us.
Oh, that's so weird. You mean figuring out who's lying and who's telling the truth is a key part of the job every single moment of the day?
Yep, pretty much.
And of course, also figuring out who just is getting it wrong, because sometimes people, you know, like five people see a traffic incident and that means that there's eight accounts of it, right?
Correct. Yeah, everybody has a different view of everything.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about the Chaplin story with Charles Martin. You guys, just can you maybe give me a little bit of the background here? How long have you had the Chaplin program,
sure.
And then how did the information about his background come to light?
Yeah, this Chaplin program is new.
Okay.
We've had chaplains in the jail ever since I've been there in the 90s. So, and basically this individual was, he was doing chaplain duties back in the jail. He was not a paid employee by the sheriff's office. He was a volunteer back there, and he started in like 2008.
Okay.
So he's been back there a long time. And then we find out via social media. I got elected in 2016. He was still back there. We didn't do a background check on him just because I got elected. And next thing you know, we find this out. So we had to terminate our relationship.
So one of the questions I had was, in this program, is it normal? I mean, I understand how there wasn't a background check done when you came into office, but was a background check ever part of the process for becoming a chaplain or doing the jail chaplaincy program?
Back then, I can't speak to that, but I do know now that if you're going to work in the jail, there's a background check.
Okay.
But I can't speak to what it was. I think in 2008, I think I was a lieutenant, so
okay.
I didn't have a lot to do with background checks and stuff.
The other question I had about this story, and I had talked to somebody who was a friend who said that he had actually done, you know, prison work and actually knew this person and was kind of surprised by it, knew that he had done, actually, you know, seemed to be quite good at it and devoted about it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times the people who go into prison fellowship kind of work, they have backgrounds, you know, it's sort of reformed people. On the one hand, I understand if something comes to light that you didn't know, but on the other hand, there's a part of me that thinks, well, look, you know, I'm a Christian, people change. Sometimes the reformed bad person is the person that you really want speaking to inmates because they have some credibility and, you know, people can, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah.
Can you help me understand why he needed to be let go if he'd been working for this time? Kind of answer that.
Yeah. And basically, we can have people like that come into the jail on a one-time basis, say we're going to have a class or something, and we have a speaker who's a convicted felon or whatever. We can okay that. It kind of got to me a little bit, the fact that I take office and I don't hear about it, and I don't, you know, if I was him, and a new sheriff came in, I would go to the new sheriff and say, look, I don't know if you know this, but kind of thing. And of course, I didn't do that. So we found out about it on social media, which, you know, it is what it is. I mean, he did what he did. He never denied that. And he said he changed and he had been doing a great job. But, you know, and also that it's a difference on type of crimes as well.
And by the way, I don't think I set this up very well, because people who may not have heard, this was a this was a sexual crime against a minor back in the 80s, right?
Right.
Yeah. Correct. So this is a, you know, this is that worst kind of thing. But still, there's that part of me that kind of wants to think that maybe somebody can reform, and apparently had. But from your point of view, was just not coming forward with the information, not telling you about it, and that put you in this position.
Right.
Okay. Sheriff, I've seen two different stories. One had to do with Pensacola police. Basically, there had been reports of a guy with a gun. It turned out to be a toy gun. But obviously, that can still be a problem. There was another story about, it was kind of a road rage thing, if I remember correctly, elsewhere in Florida, but it turned out to be an airsoft pistol that somebody had threatened. I mean, I play airsoft, and I will tell you, if you paint the tip black, you don't know that it's not an airsoft. It looks like a real gun. They're designed to look like real guns. Can you maybe just, I don't know, give people some advice about why they shouldn't do things like this with toy guns unless they expect to get arrested?
Well, not just arrested, expect to get shot. I mean, you pull an airsoft that looks like a real gun on one of my deputies, you're going to, you know, you're going to die over a fake gun.
Yeah.
And you don't want to bring a fake gun to a real gun fight. So, it's just, it's insane that people will do this, because when you brandish that weapon, you're in Florida. So you don't know if the other person is packing a real one or not. And a lot of people do carry concealed, especially now that you don't have to have a permit for it. So, you're taking your life in your own hands, playing with a toy gun, pretending it's real.
Do you guys ever get calls? This is actually a very selfish question. My boys and I used to always play airsoft, like in the backyard kind of thing. And my wife would be like, oh, because, you know, we're walking around with what look like AR-15s and shooting each other. And it's obvious if you watch for 3 minutes what's going on. But sometimes people just get freaked out because they see a thing and they react. Do you guys ever get called to basically kids playing guns? And that's, you know, that's all it turns out to be.
You know, yeah, it happens every now and then, but it's very rare. And, you know, everybody says, well, airsoft guns look real, and they do. But if you're shooting somebody with an airsoft gun and it's an AR-15 airsoft, yeah, it doesn't sound like a real AR.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. If you see somebody shoot somebody with an AR and it just goes poof instead of a loud crack.
Pew-pew is not boom-boom, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can tell the difference for sure.
Hey, last thing, and I just want to give credit to one of your deputies here, because this was one of my favorite stories of last week. This was Deputy Ney, and this was him finishing the mission after he had arrested somebody who had a warrant and turned out to be a Door Dasher. Here's the interaction with him and the recipient of the food.
That's very kind of finish out.
I figured I'd at least come up here and drop it off. I know you're looking forward to it. Cool. There's that back for you.
Thank you.
There's that for you. The receipt's in there. I don't know what the deal is going to be with DoorDash after this, but either way, at least when we come, make sure you got your order. So
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Absolutely. Yep. Y'all have a good night.
And think what we're all wanting to know is, what was the food and did she tip well?
Well, he better not have taken a tip.
That's right.
But yeah, no, that was a little above and beyond. But, you know, he wanted the lady to get her food. And that was, we have a bunch of deputies like that. They're here to help.
I love it.
We're just here to arrest bad people and, you know, do stuff like that. But if you become a cop, you really want to help people. That's the main reason for most cops. So,
no, I just thought it was a great story. And Deputy, it's Ney, right? N-A-Y, what's his first name?
Yeah. Yep. He's one of my brand new ones.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, good hire then, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the mindset that you want. Sheriff Bob Johnson, he's a sheriff in Santa Rosa County. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time, you know, keeping us safe. I certainly appreciate that. And, you know, talking to us about what the law requires, I certainly appreciate that. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, take care, Andrew.